in Safe Harbor. We were so much on the brink of bankruptcy for months and months and months, with hundreds of thousands of dollars in back bills, no credit given to us by any vendor. We have gotten past that point, but we are not out of the woods. We are certainly not out of danger. We have worked hard to reclaim the original vision of independent alternative media that we call the Pacifica Mission. And that mission, once again, is about a vision of greater justice, deeper freedom, genuine diversity, and true equality. That mission is about ideas, about stories, about people that can change our lives and do change our world. My message to the audience, to Pacifica, is that, again, we have a mission, we have a mandate that is both a tool and a weapon. It is both a pen and a sword. It is both a journalistic vision and a real political mandate in these very dangerous, perilous times to be that voice for peace. You may remember, but I will never forget, that Sonia Sanchez says the cause for war is the preparation for war. So then, the cause for peace must be the preparation for peace. As we pass this torch on to a tremendously qualified man with a real vision, Don Rojas, who will become the new general manager at WBAI, let us awake that new spirit in all of Pacifica. Let us break through this chaos. Let us break through the information, the misinformation, and the damn lies. And like Dr. King said, let us break through the silence and bring it on home. Thank you.
This is WBAI in New York, WPFW in Washington, D.C., KPFK in Los Angeles, KPFB and KPFA in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno. Valerie Van Iser getting a standing ovation. And I think that this is totally appropriate and a great moment in Pacifica.
Thank you. I think it's probably clear that this pause is not only for your comments, but also for the, I guess it must be 11 or 12 years as the general manager at the station, but a decade or more of service at WBAI before that. So that's, you know, that's reflected in the applause is the tremendous appreciation in New York, but also around the network for all the work that you have done and for all the work that you will continue to do. Valerie is not leaving Pacifica. She's leaving one job and will be moving into the, as part of the national staff. So this is just an applause for the, for I think both looking back and knowing that all the work you're about to do in your new capacity. Can we move on to the lab chair's report? Miguel Maldonado?
I'm here.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Miguel Maldonado, the local advisory board chairperson for WBA Lab. And I would like to highlight a few issues and trying to do this very quick. The first issue will be the bylaw discussion that took place in New York, and say a few words about that. And the second issue will be the search for a general manager, as was announced by Valerie. And let me start with first of all saying that I really welcome the new general manager, Dan Rojas, and I look forward to give him my support and my cooperation in every way I can as a person and as a chair of the lab of WBAI. And I hope that could be the beginning on a productive relationship between the lab and the general manager. And by saying that doesn't mean that I had to recognize also the contribution of the Valerie had made during those so many years. So I also wish her good luck in her new position, and I hope that she can continue making some contribution to Pacifica. And let me go first of all into the bylaw discussion that I know been all over the internet, but basically give us an idea and channel some of the issues that will support. And everybody knows that the last our lab support the constituency model, and also our lab and highlight some of the issues that even when the constituency model was not passed as a whole model, but there's some issues that still are alive from there, and I would like to highlight that. For instance, the issue of supporting to grandfather some of the lab people is an issue that is raised and still is alive by other labs, so there's a possibility that will stand in the new bylaw. And also the issue of supporting some staff in the lab as well as in the national board. That is an issue that the lab, WBI lab, identified. And I mentioned that for reference. I'm trying to look for the support of three or four labs, whatever we can get in some of those issues, that I think is important to show whether we are agree and highlight those issues, because we're not necessarily disagreeing everything, or just 3-2, or could be 5-0, and that we are agreed on that. And so, in that sense, that's more or less what we, decide to do and keep those issues alive and look for the labs to talk and to get together and to make decisions together on that sense. The other aspect that I would like to report will be in terms of the process of the search committee for general manager. There was about 50 candidates and that were part of the same resume, and there was some of those resumes were eliminated. First of all, let me say that the composition of that committee, which is a reflection of the dynamic of our listener area, or our signal area, would include labs as well as six or seven different listeners groups from our area that was part of that search committee. They interview about 9 candidates over the phone, and from there they choose 4 or 5 candidates, and three out of those five were chosen. And to meet with the staff and with the committee, 3 people were selected, and 3 people they checked some of the reference, and from there they decide to review 2 people, and those 2 people they check the reference to, and from there they decide to recommend to the Pacifica Executive Director 2 people after meeting with the staff after meeting with the staff. So, and then the Secretary Director meet with the search committee and some of the candidates and made his decision. The decision was that Dan Rojas was the new general manager. And I just want to say that thanks to Dan Coughlin for that thing as quick as he could and provide some decision and some information that some of the people was waiting. I also just, and I'm going to finish with this, would like to thank also Leslie for the contribution and cooperation during the whole discussion of the bylaw, and provide us with some of the information and some kind of wisdom and ambition in how we will having that discussion and talking with us. And so thanks, Leslie, for your leadership and for your vision in all of these situations. So that's the end for me.
Okay. Thank you. Let's just see if there are any questions from board members to either Valerie or Miguel, and then we'll open it up to comments from people.
Ray.
Okay. So Ray, was
it? Yes. First, I want to thank Valerie for, clear evidence of tremendous work and really ending up a participation in WBAI. Is an amazing record. I have first also want to thank you for providing us with a clear opportunity to point to those people who have been criticizing the role of, or maybe underestimating the role of democracy now in our system by pointing out that they raised $250,000 in the October drive, which is fully 1/4 of the money raised.
Right.
Now, I had a small question about equipment. You mentioned that there was additional funds being put out. However, I also understand that there was a shortage of engineers, which suggested that as we're purchasing equipment, it was not maintained properly. I don't know if that's actually accurate. Second, if it's been corrected. Yesterday, when we were talking about...
Do you want me to answer that now, and then you go on to the next question? Okay, about the equipment, we carved out, when we came back there, about $30,000 out of the budget to repair equipment that simply was not functional any longer. I mean, you couldn't even send it to the vendors because they had no more parts, and some of it just simply had to be replaced. So we did that. And that also included upgrades on the computers. It included the DSL project, so now all the station is completely DSL connected onto the internet, which is, you know, the great research tool that all of us use. But for the maintenance engineer for the repairs of the equipment, he is a half-time staff person, and he's there, and he's a genius. He's a wizard with the wires, which is great. But we, I believe, in the future, we'll need additional staff in that area. A lot of the equipment now is new because the old stuff we simply had to get rid of. But in the future, if there's a way, he never wanted to expand his job because he has other commitments and other, you know, other work. But if there's a way to get, in terms of the funding and the budget, another person on there to help with that, even if it's a part-time, not even half-time, I believe that will help the station. But that's not board engineers, that's maintenance engineers. It's a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday we were talking about the budget. I mentioned that there was a somewhat glaring differences when it came to talking about development. Some of the development expenses between KPFA and WBAI, actually KPFA and KPFK. Now, obviously, the realities are different. One friend of mine used to say, I don't care how much you make, tell me how much you keep. Mm-hmm. And in premium expenses, I see that KPFA spent $83,000, but we spent $200,000 at WBAI, and the revenues were about the same. You have any quick answer to that?
A very quick answer. Generally, the rule of thumb for all of the stations has been a 10-to-1 rule. If you raise $1 million, it's going to cost you $100,000. If you raise $2 million, it's going to cost you $200,000. And the kind of work that we do and the kind of gifts we have tried in many cases to get the materials donated or to, you know, get them free, work out a deal so that we get, and we demand really, 50% reduction on price of all things. But we have had a huge response from this year with the increase in the membership rolls to over 20,000, with over 6,000 or 8,000 new members, and we have to fulfill these responsibilities. Last year, there were thousands and thousands of premiums that were not sent out, never paid for, and we've had to take on that responsibility to get that swamp cleared as well. I think that that's pretty accurate based on, you know, a lot of years here, but that is what it's going to cost us to raise that amount of money.
Okay, finally, I raised that with the WPFW manager, and always with every single manager and lab chair. This is my concern with outreach, and I probably, as you had made it clear before, the decision of hiring a coordinator, you want to leave to the person replacing you.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
Obviously we'll have to raise with Dawn, but I want to take this opportunity to say how important I feel that this process of empowerment and developing Pacifica to have outreach. And I thank you very much for all your contribution. And
right.
To Miguel, I know you've played a pretty active role in setting up the outreach committee at WBI in the past. What do you see doing going forward in terms of outreach?
Well, in terms of the outreach, I think that, first of all, I think that we need to come together as a Signal group and really trying to exchange some idea how to do the outreach seriously. And I think that that could be done. I mean, I have some experience as organizer, which is my job, and keep me busy sometimes 24 hours. But I think that we can put together some ideas and some technique and go into the community. And I think that we can really bring a serious numbers of people to be part of WBAI. I think that's more or less what I can provide some kind of maybe a model on how to do that and with an object, a kind of goal, what we're trying to accomplish and goal, by using different techniques and how we can do that approach. Because we've been talking, including myself, but we're not doing the practical work in going to the community. Because, and the reason I say this is sometimes people listen to the radio, but they are like, they don't respond. It's like the radio is on, they don't even notice sometimes. So I think is if we can go and talk to those people and call their attention, I think we can make a difference.
Do you feel that the coordinator is it vital to this process? A local coordinator?
I would say the coordinator, if there is some cooperation from different groups who are APT and WBAI, it could be a successful thing to do.
I want to speak to that point because we took this mandate from the National Board very seriously. So I provided in the first budgets in September a training coordinator and also an outreach coordinator. It's a sacrifice, but we knew we have to do it. I think at this point, since the hire will be made by the next general manager, we had worked on a halftime schedule. But given that they will probably be hired in January, this could be a full-time position here until the end of the year. And the reason for that is because we also had to provide money for the elections, for the election process. This outreach coordinator will be very involved with that for the whole period of the spring now up to June. And from that point on, they will be bringing in people, working on the election process, coordinating that. But from that point on, once the elections are done, then it's the standard outreach, the important outreach of the connecting the dots, connecting the communities, and just raising the level for WBAI and increasing the numbers. So this is a very, very important job. We took it seriously. It's in the budget. It must be.
Thank you.
I want to move, if it's okay, to the comments from folks from the New York Signal area. And whoever's on the line now, that's who we're going to take. I don't know who the last person is on there. Oh, I just saw two people jump up. That is really sneaky. I know this New York crowd. I know this New York crowd. If everybody could really... I know that everyone has a lot to say. If everybody could just, get to your points quickly, that would be very helpful.
Great. Okay. Well, the people behind me online is basically the elections committee, and I'm the only one speaking for that side.
Right.
All right. So I'm going to take maybe a couple of minutes. The lab, my name is Fred Nguyen from the Unity Caucus in WBAI. The lab voted again, 7-2 and one abstention for the constituency model last week after presentations by the lab members. My count is that 12 members of the lab stand firmly with the constituency model, even after what happened today. Three members are against it and two are undecided. The New York lab, as well as a very significant part of the community, is opposed to uniformity because they understand that uniformity is not unity. As a matter of fact, uniformity will create divisions. Each area, they also for autonomy. Each area should have autonomy to have their own election process. Well, the thing that I wanted to say today before I was interrupted is what this is not about an election model. This is not even about diversity. This is about inclusion. And as long as we don't understand that, we will still have problems. There will be no unity. They also believe that the KPFA model is a corporate shareholder model. That's pretty much what it is. So I think that it would be a problem to ignore this warning from very committed community activists in the New York area. The lab also voted 9-0 with two abstentions to ensure and to oppose the motion by the IPNB that there should be a prohibition on on-air producer at the PNB representation. And a couple more items. Sheila Hamanaka, a Japanese-American, made an impassioned statement about a petition of the Rockland County people that they should be represented on the board. I've heard this concern from many areas. We had somebody from PFW who mentioned that people who live an hour away, 2 hours away, basically do not participate You have to institutionalize participation from the people in the outlying area, otherwise you are not going to increase your membership. There's a myth out there that outreach is done on the air, and that's the easy way out. In fact, outreach is about going in person into this community and make sure that you have people who know how to speak there to that community, and you don't think that you know yourself how to do it, because it's not true. And also, another way to do it is to provide representation for these communities that you wish to include. The second thing was about the presence of Asian, and we will be looking at that, and that's what she said. We'll be looking at this. When you say you want diversity, we will make sure that we look at this and we come back 2 years, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years from now, and we'll be looking at that. And if we don't have these measures, such as the prisoners, who have 338 of them in a petition said that they want to elect right now a representative on the board. And we will look at this as a measure, as a benchmark of what's happening with the elections. And if it doesn't happen, we will say that there is a betrayal. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, I'm Patty Heffley from New York listening area. I want to just say that I look forward to new management at WBAI. I think the lack of transparency for at least the 6 years I've been involved is necessary to change. Otherwise, we're going absolutely nowhere. I would like to say that that we should have faith and trust the new general manager that's coming in to make the decision about the union. I believe that outgoing people signing contracts for the future of the rest of the station for however long it is improper, considering the union busting that went on there already. And I would prefer and ask the executive director and this board to ask the general manager seated now to hold off on union contracts at WBAI until the new manager can look and decide what is best, working together with the rest of the staff on a union contract, because it's a small group of people that are deciding these things at the station combined with the management that's leaving for the reason that they're leaving. So please consider this. And thank you for your work on this bylaws. Finally, I hope we're going to get somewhere and have a new history coming. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Howard Branstein. I'm with the WBAI listening area. I and a number of listeners have proposed a motion for at-large, for elections, direct elections of at-large members to the Pacifica Board, and we've been circulating a petition about that. This is an issue that has received inadequate attention by the Pacifica Boards and I believe by the labs and needs to be addressed. The issue is beginning to resonate, and we have people who support, for example, both the constituency model and the KPF model agreeing that this has to be looked at. The issue here is that the entire Pacifica Board, under all the models being considered thus far, would be elected solely by local station boards. Or three members would be appointed by the seated Pacifica Board. So in no case would the body of 65,000 approximate listeners and staff have a national voice on this board. So if we look at the figures, about 100 people, which make up the local station boards, would choose the entire Pacifica board. If we add into that about 500 people participating in integrated station board, Pacifica board committees, that still leaves about 64,000 listener members and staff plus that have no collective participation in the election of the Pacifica Board. That, I think, is a real problem. That means no voting for national candidates, no national debates, and very critically, no political development across station areas. In that situation, local interests will, of course, predominate, if not monopolize, the national agenda. Now, of course, I'm not opposed to local interests, but I do think there needs to be more of a balance between local and national interests. A board that is insulated from the vast body of its listener members and staff will inevitably suffer breathing difficulties that will hamper the expansion of the network, I believe, and limit the development of national programming. I think we need to understand the connection between governance and programming more deeply to do the kind of programming that Verna Avery Brown spoke so passionately about yesterday. It will also, I would add, be more difficult to resolve conflicts that may occur or inevitably occur on the Pacifica board, as all the members under the current proposals would owe their allegiance to particular station areas. Now, the station boards themselves are likely to emerge from the bylaws process with significant governance authority. Now, I agree with this, but we cannot fuse together a national organization or solidify this free speech radio trust without the representation of the listenership and staff across the five networks as a whole. So the question, I believe, for us is, will Pacifica over the next 5 to 10 years devolve into a federation of five separate station areas or remain a strong and unified national organization? If we take the necessary steps now, which include direct election of at-large members, I think we stand a far better chance of maintaining a unified organization. In our proposal, no more than one-third of these at-large members would constitute the board, and of course the station boards would continue to have a majority. Finally, such an election of national at-large members would cost little or no money and would run concurrently with station boards. Nominations would proceed in accordance with the rules already agreed to by the Pacifica board, and there would be staggered elections and recall. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you,
and consideration.
Thank you. Let me just say, before anybody else comes up to the mic, we're not opening up a bylaws discussion now. We're not talking about bylaws. What we want to hear is what your thoughts are and insights and concerns and questions about station.
Yes.
Thank you.
Paul Surabel. I've been working with a grassroots listener-based outreach effort called the Membership Campaign. And I wanted to announce that we are going to launch a new initiative which will involve the creation of Teachers for WBAI, in which we've already formed a steering committee of six UFT members, and we're going to modify the basic brochure that we've been handing out, People's Radio WBAI, and it'll be directed specifically at teachers, and we're going to be circulating it as widely as possible as we can at all events at which teachers are in attendance. And if anybody's interested in discussing this with me, I'd be happy to talk to you about it later. Also, we've been selling WBAI People's Radio buttons as our basic means of fundraising to finance our brochures. But the main reason why I came up, and also I wanted to make a disclaimer, I have not now, nor have I ever been, a member of the Elections Committee, notwithstanding what was said previously. But at this time...
Okay, folks, let's
that's an in-joke for people in the New York listening area. Sorry. I would like now to honor Valerie Van Isler for her service to WBAI. As a WBAI listener, I want to express my deep thanks to Valerie for her leadership at WBAI, which is defined by her unwavering support for progressive programming and the message of peace and social justice. As a WBAI listener activist, I want to express my deep thanks to Valerie for her invaluable, unique contributions to the struggle to restore Pacifica through her immeasurable and invaluable contributions to the Pacifica campaign, an untold story that someday will be known. As a WBAI outreach worker, I want to express my deep thanks to Valerie for her support for our efforts, for providing whatever resources we needed, whenever we needed it, in order to help us inform the public about WBAI and to promote our radio station. Valerie leaves WBAI as a beacon of free speech, progressive people's radio. That is Valerie's historic legacy. Thank you, Valerie, and we look forward to your continued contributions to Pacifica.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Roger.
I'm Roger Manning, and despite probably widespread belief, I have never been a member of the Elections Committee at WBAI. I'm also actually not a member of Coalition for Democratic Pacifica New York either, although I maintain their website, WBAI.net, which I will always plug. And if you go to WBAI.net, you will see very badly typed up notes from this entire meeting. And I urge everybody who's presenting documents here at the meeting to please email them to webmaster at WBAI.net so I can post them so people can see them easily. I'm sure they'll be posted at Pacifica.org as well. I was very inspired by some of the stuff Joyce Snowden was saying earlier about the conflicts within our Pacifica family. And I just want to offer what my approach has been in New York personally, is that when I started going to a lot of meetings, the first thing I settled in my own mind was that I was determined not to dislike anybody. And
what?
I get in loud arguments with people, and people may be displeased with some of the things I post at WBAI.net, but I really don't dislike anybody in the New York City Pacifica community. And I appreciate the work that everybody's been doing, although sometimes I question the motives of a few people, and it's a very few people. I feel that even they and everyone has honest, caring intentions for WBAI and Pacifica. Thank you, everyone, for all the effort you've been making, particularly the interim Pacifica National Board. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. If I could for a moment, I really want to thank Roger for the incredible work that. And again, I want to urge people who haven't visited the site, WBAI.net. There's information there relevant not only to WBAI and the New York area, but for the whole network. Please go to that site. He does an incredible job with it and provides information that, you know, is hard to find or impossible to find other places. And immediately it's on his site. So thanks a lot, Roger, for all that work.
Hi, my name is Steve Brown from the New York listening area. I'd like to endorse Paul's commendation of Valerie. I thank you, Valerie, for 12 years at least of extraordinary radio listening. I would also like to commend this IPNB, which very soon won't exist, for the incredible patience and goodwill with which they've not only performed an unpaid job, but have accepted the slings, arrows, abuse, thousands of condemnatory emails and public tongue lashings, of which I certainly have done my share. But I would like to correct one possible misunderstanding, because Valerie had spoke about the dollar contribution of Democracy Now, and so did Ray LaForest, and some other board members were nodding their heads in agreement about what I think Ray mentioned as the payback that we were getting. Now, that refers to the Democracy Now! Contract, I assume, which is under review. Democracy Now! Has always provided a very large amount of money to BAI and to Pacific in fundraising, and still does. And the impression was left that somehow they wouldn't be providing this money now if the contract had not been signed. Because of this contract, each dollar that Democracy Now! Brings into Pacific is worth 30, 40, possibly 50% less than it was before the contract. It's a very complicated document. I don't think many people on the board understand it, and it has not really been openly discussed amongst the listeners. The committee is reviewing it now, and I hope they will make their deliberations public so that we can all understand it and in turn change it when we see how bad it is. This is not a reflection on Democracy Now!, which is a marvelous show, only on the contract. Thank you.
Thank you. Uh-oh, I'm worried when people come up to the mic with a laptop in their hands.
My memory is failing. I'm sorry about that. That's the only way I could take notes. Carolyn Burden from WBAI. I'm a recovering member of the Elections Committee and a current member of the CDPNY. A couple of questions. I really want to ask that WBAI especially, but I suspect it applies to all the areas, publish a budget that is clear, detailed, public, and transparent. We have no idea of what people were hired, how much they're being paid, who is paid and unpaid staff, and especially those jobs which may never have been advertised and how they were described or defined. So we would really, listener supporters would really appreciate, and think we have a right to see, a budget that is open and transparent, a line item budget. Second point is that I want to respond to the concept that outreach is not done on the air. I beg to differ. I think that to talk about personal contact and seating members on the board who are members of communities for whom there are no programs is hypocritical. We really need to work on the programming. That is where the outreach is done, I think, and I think that's where BAI also needs to do an awful lot of work in terms of outreach. With regard to the petitions that have been signed, I do think that anybody who signs a petition or puts one out to be signed really ought to make that public, these petitions that prisoners, for instance, are alleged to have signed. We have not seen that. We don't know what the prisoners were promised or told when they signed that and what they believe to be their rights when they have signed that petition. So I think that's really almost a legal issue, but certainly an ethical issue for us. And last point is, Leslie, you clarified yesterday some issues about how the three labs are to meet to consider coming together and working out these issues. And your guidelines have already been ignored to a certain extent. I understood that those meetings were to be of the three lab members plus people of goodwill who felt they could support the KPFA model, and that included anyone from Washington or New York who was not one of those three but nevertheless felt that they could compromise enough to make it viable. Instead, people are attending the meetings who have just the opposite agenda, members of the constituency model particularly, who are going in and working in effect to foster an agenda that this board and the local boards have already rejected, just totally ignoring your guidelines. So I really would appreciate your saying to us that if the meetings are going to be open to anyone who wants to, including people who want to revisit the things that you have already voted on, that's fine, but let's advertise those and make them open. If not, they need to be kept closed. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay. Let me just say, just on that point, that after the station reports, maybe one of the people from the meeting, one of the lab chairs from the meeting last night can just update us about what that process is. Not now, after the station reports are done. Okay. Jim.
Thank you. My name is Jim Dingman. I served on the WBA lab. I was an elected lab member by the unpaid staff in 94-95. I also served on the program council at the station. And I know that myself and a few others were probably the first lab members in the country to oppose the old Pacifica National Board. And I just wanted to begin with two comments. I do not doubt Valerie Van Isler's selflessness and dedication to Pacifica, but I also like it clarified as to why you cooperated with the old National Board's policy to break the unions. You just made a comment about how you celebrate that, and yet you've never really answered to the satisfaction of many why you collaborated with them in breaking the union at BAI. And we have two NLRB lawsuits that went on. Everybody knows this. So for the interest of history and clarifying this, it would be useful to know what happened, because we don't want that to ever happen again. And secondly, the issue of the constituency model, I watched when the KPFA lab ideas were being discussed back in 99 in the year 2000, and this lab was opposed to them even then. And I consider them a power to the people model, period, because it enfranchises masses of listeners to vote and decide with common sense about the issues that they want to think about. And in the light of that, I think that people now have to think about checks and balances. And I will submit a paper to the board formally on this, but I want to put out some ideas. First of all, I think there should be a weekly report from the listeners that is dedicated space that is considered free space where nobody is going to interfere with people who talk and criticize policy. I'm not talking about infringing an FCC rules where you start getting into personality things, but a free space where people can discuss policy. When I was on the lab and the program council, if we'd been able to get on the air and talk about the national programming strategy in 94-95 and intelligently discuss it with listeners, none of this might have evolved the way it did. We would have had people informed and understanding about the impact, because what they were saying was community radio, as you conceive of it now, is going to be destroyed and removed. So if this had been able to have been allowed, we might have been able to avoid that. Another idea I think is important to think about is, if you talk about the grassroots, I think the national board and the national programming staff should think that there should be, let's go to the community boards in New York or the other kind of bodies that exist in every signal area, and once a week or several times a month, if they want to complain about a parking problem or a traffic light problem, if that's what the people in Queens or the people in Tacoma Park or whatever want to talk about, then go to these local grassroots advisory committees that exist in all the different parts of the metropolitan areas that the Pacifica stations are in. And that's the grassroots, in part. And I think that should be something that's implemented uniformly across the board in all the different signal areas. Finally, I think there should be program councils that are formed with people elected from the listeners. They have to have at least four or five representatives who run the same way that the lab people run, with their ideas argued about, and we should think about reforming the whole program council process so there's openings so that the average person can come and learn about how to do programming. It's not learning the Kabbalah, okay? So I will submit that paper formally. And again, the issue of history about what happened in Pacifica, the who did what, when, and where, I think it's important for the future so we don't have this ever happen again.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, folks. Yes.
Yes, I'm James Bryan from the WBAI listening area, and I just want to say thank you and welcome to thank you to the board and to DC listening area for being gracious hosts. Just as a quick aside on the matter of petitions, I'm a member of the UC caucus, as I said, and there are a lot of petitions going around, and I hope it's not just a matter of opposing the petitions that you don't like. I mean, there are people been going to peace marches and representing all sorts of things that I haven't seen in papers. So I just want to say that. I've also carried petitions advocating our ideas and our models specifically to youth, and that's what I want to speak to. During my activities in the local BAI area and in the national, as much as I have witnessed and experienced a certain ageism. Thanks to my mother, I'd like to say hi to her. She gave me a youthful look. She gave me a youthful look, and I definitely tend to feel a lack of seriousness where folks don't take me very seriously, it seems. And that's just the feeling I'm just expressing. So I hope there'll be a little self-examination. But a point to Miguel and to Valerie. Valerie, I do appreciate your service. As long as I've listened to BAI, you've been there, and you've held a very high standard there. But in my other activities, I have found a hotbed of active youth that I think maybe BAI and Pacifica needs to connect with. It's called college campuses. And I would like to be able to go there and see something, see that we're making a mark there in person, and that I could resonate with other activities and try and broaden support on the campus for BAI and other related work. I do other work besides BAI, I have to admit. I'm sorry. So, again, I'd like any feedback on that.
Thank you. Somebody
fix the microphone.
Oh, thank you. I'll try to learn how to.
No, you should know how to manipulate those things.
Okay. And again, you're listening to the Interim Pacifica National Board Meeting live from Washington, D.C. on several of the Pacifica stations, and we'll tell you about them in a few minutes.
And I'm trying to decide whether or not to tell you that I was a member of the BAI Elections Committee. I would like to talk about two matters that I actually think apply to all the stations in the network. Frequently, during our work to save Pacifica, and which started in 95 and 96 for some of us, and on NWBAI, we have been told that the station staff doesn't know anything about what's going on, doesn't really have an interest or an understanding or a reason to discuss these matters. Even up until the present day, we have been told that the station staff doesn't know what's going on, and not to mention the fact that there are a lot of new members on the station staff. The airwaves are a public trust. To be able to speak particularly on the Pacifica airwaves is a great privilege, which carries with it a great responsibility. The history of that responsibility, the history of that privilege, is something very important that I think the station staff should all be aware of. If there were any efforts on the part of the management to educate the station staff, I would like that to be expressed now. But if not, I would like to recommend that such efforts be implemented as a matter of course at WBAI and, dare I say, at all the other stations. This information is very important to be understood in terms of the preservation of the station and its perpetuation, in terms of the preservation of the network. That's one thing. Secondly, I would like to say that I know of at least two instances, and there may be more, of programming sanctions that were brought against programmers who tried to bring these matters to the air, and their programs were either moved or their programming was reduced. I don't know to how many other programmers this might have occurred. I know of two at least, these two at least. I also know that there are programmers who are afraid to express certain matters on the air or to bring them to the air with clarity and full information. So this invokes discussions of the gag rule and freedom of speech. I must say, in this freedom of speech movement, since I've been in it, there have been more efforts to curtail freedom of speech in more ways than I can count. So I would say that efforts to discuss the gag rule and eliminate it, rather, protect the freedom of the air should be implemented and discussed very thoroughly at the station, and that people should really, truly be clear about their freedom to speak and discuss these issues, and even go so far as to say there's some responsibility to discuss them in some way so that listeners can be informed about the matters of policy, procedure, and crisis at the station. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
My name is Eve Moser. Leslie, I actually do have some bylaws concerns prompted by the discussion yesterday, and I'm wondering when they can be brought up today.
Well, I doubt they will. It's 10 to 1, the three more stations and the archives. So
then after, between now and the next, when will they be able to be talked about any of these?
I
let's see where we are at the archives, and if people are still
here, we'll take those comments. If not today, is there some other way?
I don't know yet. I don't know yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I think it would be very important
to Excuse me. I think we've been very clear. At this point, how the matter of election of the local boards, three of the five labs need to agree and bring a proposal back to this board.
I'm talking about other bylaws issues, the things that were discussed yesterday having to do with the bylaws, amending procedures, and so on.
Oh, okay. Well, we took our straw poll, and I think if you have comments, you can certainly email them to us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
then,
what my understanding is that the document that gets put together to be sent to the lawyer will also be circulated, right? So the bylaws committees and the labs around the country can have another meeting and look at that document and give us, you know, some feedback. But we are not going to reopen the whole new, you know, writing, new plan to rewrite the bylaws, right? But if there's some
fine-tuning that still has to happen, that would be the time.
Okay.
But we're getting into, you know, closing this process.
Okay. Okay.
Well,
as I said, my questions and concerns have to do with the discussion yesterday, not about election procedures, but about bylaws, amendments, and so on. And I do have a couple of questions. One is, I would like to ask Valerie, I heard her mention a budget for elections, and I'd like to know what amount that is.
We got some information from KPFA about the cost of their elections, and it was anywhere from $12,000 to $15,000. So we've got about that amount in the budget to conduct the election coming up in 2003.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And I also last then want to ask and urge, if there isn't already, that has there been thought of a kind of a national handling of how the elections are funded? Okay. In other words, that there be some coordination
funded
nationally of funding the elections.
I think the date has been that they should be part of each station's budget.
Yeah.
That the funding would happen
part
at
of
each station's
budget.
Right, but for instance, I'm happy to hear that Valerie's been able to budget that much for us, but should there be, for instance, problems at one or another station, that there be some getting together to make sure that everybody's got what they need, I guess is what my concern is. And I'm wondering whether there's already a mechanism for that, or has there been a national discussion, and I think there should be is what I guess I'm saying.
There hasn't been a national discussion. I think you're right that obviously it's a national concern that that when it's time to do the elections, that there not be any inability to carry them out because of lack of
funding. And we don't want to be caught and all of a sudden have to move.
Right.
In other words, if we have to look for, pay people to do anything, we have to know that we have the ability to do that.
We have to look at that.
Okay, thanks.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Let me ask a process question. One of the speakers spoke about the union contract. What's the present policy as to whether or not general managers can negotiate these contracts at each station, or does it have to be approved by the board?
Usually the managers at the station, someone should correct me if I'm wrong, negotiate the contract in consultation with the executive director. It's not a board issue, but the executive director does have a role in the negotiation and the signing off on the contract.
What if it binds the national board or the national organization?
It's the executive director that does.
Okay.
Right. It's a good question, Marion. And one of the things that I've insisted on is we knew that we were in this transition because I said I would step down back in March. And the process is now finally completed for another person to take over this, that Dan Coughlin, the executive director, be at every single meeting so that he understood the full import, all of the questions, the whole process. And so with the new person coming in who will probably sign the contract, Dan is fully informed because he's been there every single time, every single meeting, every single negotiation. We planned it that way.
That's great. Also, members of the board, I'd like to commend Valerie for her outstanding work at WBI. It really has been a remarkable success since she's been there. So we're very happy about that. So thank you, Valerie.
Thank you, Valerie.
All right. Thank you again. All right, folks, we are obviously running way late. And we're going to have to figure out in the future how we do all these station reports and give every station the time it fully needs. And we are going to hear this from the three other stations, but obviously they're going to be very, truncated reports.
Probably.
What I'd like to do is take a 10-minute break. There's food here. Have people get food and bring it back to the table. And
Leslie,
so we can eat.
Before we break,
can
we in the future allocate X amount of time for each station, and that way we...
Yeah, I mean, I'll think about it. I'll try to figure out how much time. I think, Right. Okay, very short break, really just 10 minutes. Okay, thank you.
And you are listening to WBAI in New York, WPFW in Washington, D.C., KPFK in Los Angeles, KPFA and KPFB, Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno. We do have three more reports from stations to go, and also a report from the archives all to be done in a little more than just an hour. So they will be definitely more truncated than the reports previous. And in some respects, that's appropriate because, in my opinion, when a board meeting takes place in a host city of one of the five station areas, that particular station should get the most time and allow the most people from that community that they represent or the communities that they represent to speak. That's very appropriate. And since we are here, that has happened, and we'll be listening to some reports from KPFT, from KPFK, and from KPFA, I believe, in that order. I would like to briefly go back, since this is kind of an unannounced break at the particular time, and everybody seems pretty eager to take one, to listen to some more of the discussion from yesterday of where is Pacifica headed. And we are playing this back because we know that a number of you were not able to catch yesterday's board meeting in its entirety, and so we thought we'd continue this good discussion, and I believe we're right in the middle of a statement or an idea from Carol Spooner from the Bay Area and is a board member from that particular vicinity. So let's listen to some more of this discussion.
If we all understand, or if any of us understands or has all the pieces of the puzzle about why that happened, and I don't really want to go into it now, because we're trying to look ahead, but there's some things that I think we left behind that we need to have a discussion about reviving, reinvigorating, bringing new life to them in our radio broadcasting. At least have the discussion about what we want to do about them. And one of the things is that Pacifica, for most of its history, has not relied on paid programmers, paid producers. Most of our programming has been done over the 50 years that we've been doing it by volunteers or unpaid workers. And in the early 90s, we began focusing on, we changed and started developing daily, highly produced programs at some of the stations, not all of them, and also on the national level. And at the national level, part of the impetus to do that was we began to get subcarrier money that could fund national programming. The subcarrier money is now diminishing because new technologies are coming in. So that was an income stream that was intended to jumpstart and help fund national programming in a big way. That income stream is going away. We have, at some of our stations, developed a fair amount of daily, highly produced programming, news magazine stuff, morning drive time programming. We have at the station I'm most familiar with, we have flashpoints at KPFA, which came out of the first Gulf War and has been going since then, and is an extraordinary program and is, in fact, the highest fundraiser per hour on an hourly basis at KPFA. So I'm looking at the expense of highly produced daily programs versus the relatively inexpensive production of not daily programs. Nobody can do a daily program without getting paid, because it's a full-time job. But if you're doing a weekly program or even a monthly program, you can do it. And there's so many people in our communities who have so much to offer that opening our doors up to them, bringing them in and getting them, more of them on the air again, having closed the doors and lost many of them over the past decades, just seems to me to be one of the things that we can do right now, especially in our financial crisis, address the crying need throughout this country for public affairs, public information programming.
As Leslie said last night, I think we're in the worst crisis that we've seen in this country in my lifetime. So that's one thing. I think if we're going to have national programming, we have to have a national source of income. And I think that's a question we have to address head on. Our local radio stations generate enough income to cover the programming that they're doing, and they're